Start that up again.
Oh, and I'm sorry, Jeff, I should have hit mine. Oh, if you want to give me permission.
Here he comes. It's the man. Dave, in flight Ginsburg. Well, as a matter of fact, yes, we do.
Yeah, a little muffled.
Wow.
But here you are. So, okay, so
I'm
now
just
we've
flying right over you
established
guys right now.
that this is awesome. So we've established Southwest Airlines has in-flight Wi-Fi that works well enough that you can have a crappy connection live on the internet around the world.
Excellent. It's actually for in-flight Wi-Fi, it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's freezing here and there,
Is.
but quality is actually not bad.
Much better than
But
what Chuck had last week.
yeah, but Dave, if you're flying over me on your way to Vegas from Chicago, you really took a wrong turn.
Look how intent
He's
he
flying
is.
over me, then he really took a wrong
Right?
turn.
And if
Yeah,
he's
so then
flying
I mean,
over
just stop
me,
by.
he's
Let's have a
almost to
coffee.
Vegas.
I am flying over you, Jeff. Can you hear me?
See, that's why I can hear you so well. You're flying over me.
That must be it.
Yeah. He will be flying over me about 28 minutes into the flight.
Yep. All right.
Oh,
Well,
already passed you.
yeah, you missed your opportunity to wave to Dave as he flew over you. I, however, am not missing it. Hi, Dave. Welcome to Colorado.
I did that with my mom. Like I flew over my mom's house. Like while like she's right in the flight path to the Zurich airport, so I sent her a message. I was like, "Hey, you should go outside and wave," because I could literally see the house. So.
That's awesome. All right. Well, since we actually have Dave connected right now, I'm starting the show.
Yeah,
So
let's do it.
hopefully we can get some Dave time in. All right. Here we
I'll
go.
do the social part.
Oh, yeah. Let the Slack room know too, please.
We'll do.
Thank you. All right. Here we go.
Hold on.
Hold on. Don't tell me hold on.
Just one second here. I want to go to for a more appropriate background for today.
Man, this is compelling content. I'd say I'll fix it in post, but there you go. All right. Okay, now here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Max Show live on location from Colorado airspace with our special travel correspondent, Dave Ginsburg. Dave, how are you?
Cool.
And how is your flight? Because everyone, Dave actually is in the air over Colorado right now.
Don't jump.
And
Yeah,
he
don't jump.
freezes right on cue.
Yes. Can we get the Sky Marshal's views on Apple's tech this week?
Yeah, we may just have gotten that very thing as they tackled Dave and wrestled him to the floor.
Oh
Yeah.
no, he's back. Can you
Yep.
Oh, he is back. And
hear
yeah,
me now?
I can you hear us?
I can hear you good. You can hear me.
We
We
can
can
hear
hear you.
you.
Wow.
I
You can hear me. All right.
I'm thinking this
That's
is a
crazy.
first where we've had someone join live on the show from a flight.
Yeah, I mean, we've done airports and everything, but I don't think we've ever done a flight.
Successfully
Oh,
joined. Yeah.
successfully.
Audio and with everything.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, I joined while boarding once, but that doesn't count.
No. And last week,
Yeah,
Chuck, you crawled so Dave could fly.
well, Dave is probably in the A boarding group. I was in like the C minus back, with the luggage. So that his Wi-Fi is probably better.
I was in the A group, yes.
You see? Yeah.
Good.
And rightly so, because he's Dave fracking
A-list.
Ginsburg.
A-list
let's put it this way. I'm in row three, so that tells you I was an A.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. And everyone knows that Wi-Fi travels faster in the first five rows.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So Dave is kind of frozen again. But holy crap, he's with us. We live in the future. So, well, while we're waiting to see if Dave rejoins us, Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. I've had a week of audits because, or at, yeah, we have our C5 attestations, the German thing for cloud services. You have to certify. It's really, really, really detailed. But we say so far. I mean, we have one half day or so left, like a couple of controls to finish, and then we're done. Hopefully, and tons of evidence to submit and reviews and questions and whatever. So we're not fully through yet, but it's the big chunk is, I think, done. And we sailed through so far. So I'm very happy about that. It's been a week, you can tell.
I can tell. And
late nights and early mornings and all of that.
Yep. It's been a long year. It's only been a week.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I mean, we started in September last year to prepare for this. So yeah, it's been a while. And of course, we have no extra resources because that's not how it works in corporate, any company, basically. You don't get extra resources for stuff like that. It's like, hey, yeah, good luck. You just got a new job.
Lucky you.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, someone's walking good. Past Dave, fine. Heading up to the front. And we thank all you. Know why. There's only one reason why people get up and walk towards the front of the plane.
Because there's Wi-Fi.
Because yeah. There's Wi-Fi. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, or maybe they saw a rare Pokemon up front.
That could be. Yeah. Chuck, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good, Jeff. I came home from NAB with a bit of a cold, but that's nothing new. And I was up all night not listening to Taylor Swift's album.
Ooh. Why not?
Then why did you bother? Haters
gonna
stay
just
up?
Hate.
Exactly.
No, it's not a case of hate. It's just, you know, there were better things to listen to. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Taylor Swift. Swifties.
That's okay. I mean, if you weren't listening to her new album, staying up all night for that, clearly it was because one of her old albums was really calling to you.
Yeah, no. I think so.
No, but nice try.
And no. Just like that, we are canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
No, listen.
I'm gonna call Christina in, and she's gonna cancel you. So.
No, yes. I'm a huge admirer of Taylor Swift as a business person. Her music is just not my thing, but that doesn't mean it's bad. Not like some other artists I could comment on that would definitely get us canceled or at least threatened. But you know, I think it's fascinating when I turn on the morning news and it's like, you know, well, we have attacks by Iran and Iraq, and oh my God, Taylor Swift dropped her album. And it's like, really? Yeah. These two things are equivalent, but apparently yes. So.
Yes.
Well, okay. Here's how they're equivalent. We have bad things in the world that make us sad and angry. And then we have other things in the world that can make us happy. So if you're going to give us all of the bad things, you know, there's wars everywhere, your flight's been delayed or whatever it is, give us something that that can make people smile. And so today or yesterday it was, and Taylor Swift has a new album.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we need to run Jeff for office.
Jeff.
What did I say to piss you off?
We would get like, oh, really bad world news, and then hey, and by the way, we asked Taylor Swift to release another album, and here it is.
There you go.
Yeah, the world would be a better place if that was how things worked. Every day there's a new release.
I love this plan. Hey, speaking of the world being a better place, Ben, how are you?
Muted. That's what he is.
Yes, I am fantastic.
Excellent. Excellent.
He had to check. He had to check, Jeff.
Oh,
yes. And yes, my back. I have pulled a Mark Fuccio and made a very relevant background for the episode.
I'm glad you explained what making a Mark Fuccio is. It's yeah. Anyhow. All right. Well then, I'm glad that we're able to provide this highbrow quality entertainment for Dave. Keep him entertained on his flight.
True.
All right. So we might as well start with a story that totally ties in with Ben's background. And then also, I need to point out that Dave is so on top of everything that he has literally the stories we need to talk about ready to go. And what I'm saying is I'm totally stealing from In Touch with iOS show notes from their show last night. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that, Dave.
We are very in touch with iOS, or in touch with iOS.
Yep. And
too much touching going on.
You beat me to it.
Yeah, Chuck's getting nervous here. There's so much touching.
Well, as long as it's consensual. Oh, you know what? Dave is just touching me, and did it just get hot in here? I think it did. Oh my gosh. Okay. So the story. The Delta Video Game Emulator for iOS is out on the App Store now. And I could dive into the background on this, but I feel we would be better served if the resident video game expert walked us through it. Ben, do you mind?
Chuck, no.
Yeah, Chuck, do you mind?
My iPhone has now gone back to my teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. So, just a little bit of, well, first, a disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you download ROMs of games that you own, such as the ones right behind me,
mm-hmm.
using emulated ROMs on anything but the intended platform is a legal gray area.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yep. If you do this in the gray area, that's between you and the platform owner.
Mm-hmm. We are gray.
Yeah. Yes. If you go into the black area, that's between you, the platform owner, and probably the FBI.
Good times.
So we will not, unlike some other shows, we will not be telling you where and how to get ROMs during this show. What we will do...
Of course, you create them yourself, right? That's how it
is. Yes, build your own N64 video game.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. There are tutorials on Google, or on the internet, Google them. There you go.
But anyway, so a week or two back came the news that emulators, which have existed on most computer platforms and the iOS via the jailbreak side of things, was coming legally to the App Store
around the world, not just the
yes
EU.
Around yes, you can get it in Iowa, you can get it in Germany, you can get it 40,000 feet in the air and on a Southwest plane.
Yeah,
but there were a couple of misfires. There was the first one, which was pretty much an ad-laden ripoff of one of Riley Tessitt's. I'm probably getting Riley's name wrong, but earlier emulators that was then removed from the App Store because, well, it was an unauthorized copy. Then we had another one, an NES emulator called Bimmy, which pulled out after they didn't want to deal with the legal realities of what they were doing.
Understandable.
Yep. And now, and then the major leaguer came to the plate when the aforementioned Riley tested. Someday I'll get Riley's name right. Released Delta, which is a very promising and polished emulator for retro NES or net retro Nintendo consoles. First, I will say this. Apple is playing very fast and loose with the term retro because they do not define it. Whether that's whether that's GameCube or Wii or only stuff with cartridges or something even older, well, they're not telling anybody. But the thing is, the question on whether emulators that will allow you to download your own ROMs are allowed on the App Store, they are. Apple will not be taking down Delta or the Commodore 64 emulator because you're running running ROMs off the internet. They consider that perfectly functional for that type of app.
And Apple was even working with Delta. I'm saying the app name because I know I can't mispronounce that.
Yes.
Before launch. So it's not like this is just something that popped up as soon as Apple said, hey, you can do this. Apple knew Delta was coming.
Yeah. They probably knew. I mean, it's probably been in development as soon as Riley announced that that a version of Alt Store was coming to iOS in the EU. But they then pivoted to bringing it worldwide.
Yeah, they said they've been working on this since March. So
yeah. And honestly, working on a version of this for years in the jailbreak communities.
For sure.
I mean, it's really well done. It works in either portrait or landscape. It has nice skins around the game and touch controls. However, if you want a little bit more hardcore, it's also completely compatible with Apple's controller interface and works flawlessly. Yep. And there are also more emulators on the way. So if you like the PlayStation or Xbox sides or Sega, which I've been a Sega guy, this is really opening things up. And if you wonder if there's any kind of demand, well, Delta's the number one app in the App Store worldwide right now.
Yeah. All right, Ben. So from my perspective, this adds an extra or a new level of legitimacy as Apple devices, as a gaming platform.
It definitely does for that? It does for retro gamers. I mean, it doesn't mean we're going to get Star Wars Outlaws tomorrow or when it releases because this is out. But it's something that users have been asking for since pretty much, well, iOS 2. Well, those days, iPhone OS 2.
And I think this addresses the big problem that I have with gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that I haven't been able to play just regular Tetris for years.
Yeah.
And now I'll be able to install Delta. And then with ROMs that I will, of course, legitimately own, be able to put like Game Boy Tetris or classic NES Tetris on my iPhone. And look, Dave's sitting there thinking, how many games can I put on my iPhone?
Oh, a ton. I mean, they're probably not very big, so probably tons.
Probably tons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these old cartridges, they're only a couple megabytes because, I mean, late 80s, early to mid 90s, storage density was nowhere near what it is now.
Yeah. Even so, if you could put it on a chip and it was hardwired, even then it's not very high.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a couple hundred megabytes max.
Mm.
Probably less.
Yeah, and I mean, they had to be cheap as well. Like, I mean, the game itself is expensive enough, and like, you don't want to spend another, whatever, $100 on the cartridge itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Chuck, you've been sitting here incredibly quiet. I know you're not a gamer, but what do you see in this?
Jeff, you're right. I have trouble commenting on this because I'm not a gamer. I haven't been a gamer. Honestly, I was never a gamer. So, you know, I guess I can't quite catch the nostalgic appeal here. There's plenty of nostalgia out there. This one doesn't punch my button. If it makes the iPhone more attractive to an audience, then so much the better. But beyond that, I really feel grossly incapable of passing any significant judgments or observations on this. I'm glad Ben's happy. You know, that's about all I can say.
If Ben's happy, we're all happy.
Exactly.
Yep. All right. So next question, super important. Dave, what have you ordered as your in-flight drink?
And meal.
I pay.
Now, I couldn't quite make out what he said.
Diet Coke.
Oh, Diet Coke? I was going to invent some sort of mixed cocktail. But Diet
Pan
Coke.
Galactic Gargle Blaster.
With the snap
Pan
mix Galactic Gargle Blaster. And the Golden Girl.
Nice.
I think he probably has a little go-go juice added to that Diet Coke, but that's me.
You know, anytime you fly, a little bit of go-go juice is appropriate. Chuck's go-go juice.
Show title. Oh,
another show title. All right, Dave.
We said we'd do it, Chuck.
Yep. Dave, another question for you. Do you have the flight map up so you can tell us where you are right now? I'm assuming you're still in Colorado airspace, but you might be close to Utah by now. Of course, the image froze before we could actually see the map that Dave's holding up. Oh, there we go. Okay, he is still in Colorado.
No, it looks more like New Mexico, actually. Albuquerque is in, is it? Could be at the border. It's hard to see, but I think it might be still in Colorado. You're right.
All right, yeah. It's there you
go.
Yeah,
it might be still. Nice.
Awesome. All right. Well, then let's hit another story. And let's talk about one of Chuck's favorite things, which is
metal.
One of Chuck's other favorite things, But yeah, I mean, we should have just talked about metal. But instead, we're going to give Chuck a trigger warning and say, hey, let's talk about rumors and parts leaks. So there's the rumor that Apple has been working on a HomePod that has a display built into it. So that would be akin to an Echo Show. And now there's this report out saying that there's a leaked part, which is part of the screen component for this new HomePod. And so there's also hints in the tvOS operating system code. That's kind of redundant, tvOS operating system.
Yes.
That's like saying I'm going to the ATM machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, so there have been these little hints that are cropping up saying that Apple's going to release such a product. And since this is just a great opportunity to trigger Chuck, how could we not hit the story?
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to surprise you a little bit. I mean, other than the fact that this is a rumor thing, at least this rumor seems to be have a little bit of teeth to it as far as the parts go and the supply chain goes. So, you know, that gives a little bit of credibility. I still don't like rumors because I still enjoy the times when we could be surprised by a new Apple product. That said, you know, and Bob Each just said something in the chat room that I think is perfect. If the display is on the top, I can't see the benefit. And I agree, Bob. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, it would make it a lot less useful than being able to do something a little more along the lines of an Echo Show. That said, this is supposed to be a speaker primarily and predominantly. And so just putting a screen somewhere that I can see it, does that take up space where the audio components should be that are giving me the best sound? So, you know, and if the speaker goes on top, not facing up, flat up, like is illustrated in the link that Jeff posted, but sits up on top and you can look at that and still have the great speaker. I mean, if that feels kind of kludgy. I don't know how Apple would address that. And I don't know how maybe they can find a way to address the sound issue. But all of those things said, you know, hey, in some ways it feels like kind of a natural progression. If they're going to try to make the HomePod a bit more of a smart home device or smart home hub device, because you really need a screen to do that.
So it depends a little bit what the screen is for, I think. So I have to disagree a little bit with you. I think it really depends on what's the purpose. So the current HomePod has a display on top. It's a LED, there's a name for it, LED matrix or something. It has a name, but it's a display. It shows you an animation. It shows you like stuff. So it is a display. If the whole reason is to say, well, we want to show, I don't know, buttons there, or you have some options, you can select them instead of talking. And that is on top, and you're anyway standing in front of it. Okay, fine. Yeah, I mean, it's a gimmick. It's not a massive thing, but yeah, you could do that. Just replace the display on top with like a proper touch or LED matrix on top with a proper touch display, and you're okay. If that's the whole thing, okay, yeah, you can do that. I think what a lot of people and us including are imagining is more what you said, Echo Show. Mm-hmm. So you can put it in your kitchen, for example, and I don't know, show the recipe that you're cooking and listen to music and maybe ask Siri to whatever, or do some measurement conversions from cups to, or from metric, sorry, from whatever, US standard to metric and vice versa, and stuff like that. Then it's not super useful if it's just flat on the top, because it's one, too small, and two, it's not really convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and kind of going off of what Patrice is saying, even if it is like the Echo Show, well, the Echo Show line goes from 5 inches to 15.6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that little, that the little one's gonna to show you more like pretty much just what's going on your speaker. The big one can honestly be what amounts to a small kitchen TV.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on, it's going to have a lot to depend on what functionality is this thing doing. If it shows up in TV OS, is one of the reasons that TV OS got video conferencing is because mm-hmm. this thing will run TV OS.
Yes, which, that's what we're guessing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which would make it a really good kitchen TV mm-hmm. slash communications device slash looking up, you know, and watching recipes. It just, I mean, yeah. it can be anywhere from just more interactive controls to a completely new category of Apple device. Yeah. This is going to be the part that we're surprised at when and if it gets announced.
Yeah.
But, I'm kind of stealing some of Bob Beach's comments here. He says, all my HomePods are located some way away from where I'm sitting, so I'd have to go over and look at the screen. Waste of time. Not sure it's a waste of time, but it is going to, it's going to change the way you look at the HomePod. Or a yeah. HomePod. Mm-hmm. And that's not...
You might locate it somewhere else.
Yes, so. And that's not necessarily a bad thing by any means. Yeah. So it just may... In fact, it might be a really good thing because it would then... It would not add a new category of device, but, you know, I can't think of another way to express it. That now
an
I have
expansion
something...
of a category?
Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps, and, Patrice. But, you know, at the same time, if I want to do some of the things Ben's talking about... With the exception of having a really great, a better sounding speaker, I can get an iPad mini. So, you know, that's where it's one of those weird overlap things that may make perfect sense once we see what Apple does with it. But yeah. Right now I'm not saying I wouldn't buy one. I just need to see what it is.
But the thing is, I mean, and that's a very Apple thing. Yeah, sure. I mean, I use my iPad as my kind of when I'm cooking my recipe thing, right? But there are some downsides to that. One, I mean, like you're putting in somewhere where you have like liquids and stuff, like whatever, flour, and like it gets dirty simply. You have dirty fingers, all of that. So you do that to your iPad, which you might not mm-hmm. want to. And then, I mean, you might need a keyboard or something, or like you need something to hold the iPad up, like a kickstand or whatever you need. So you have to buy something extra to do that and all of that. And mm-hmm. with this device, at least how I'm seeing it, I mean, you unpack it, you put it on your kitchen counter where you're cooking and set it up and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
I mean, it might still get dirty, but hopefully Apple thought about that.
It would also presumably be less expensive than an iPad since you're not running a full OS.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too sure about that, but it's Apple. Yeah. More expensive than we think.
Now, Dave is saying, even though we can't hear him right now, he's saying mm-hmm. HomePod in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's for me. I would buy it. I would buy it because I do that.
Yeah, and in the chat there, I dropped the link to the 15-inch Echo Show, which is what I hope it will be.
There a version of the Echo Show that is designed to be mounted on a wall?
This is it.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's something I'm visualizing for Apple as well. Where it's a HomePod, but it's also a HomeKit bridge, and it's an information and
a toaster
and control.
Yes,
and it's a toaster fridge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a full toaster by your command.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm picturing.
So say we are
multiple models. Yes. So say
multiple
we are.
Models.
This is the way.
Yes. Yeah, multiple models. That's very appropriate.
Yes, and they have a plan that never really got to during the series.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like Apple, right? They have a plan that never happens.
Yep.
But you know, I got to go back to my iPad mini thing. I mean, the 15 inch is $279.
Yeah.
That's a fair amount of money to hang something on your wall in your kitchen for a very specific use. If I got an iPad mini, and Patrice, your point is well taken about, you know, having a way to mount it, stand it, hold it, whatever. But you know, there are a million solutions out there,
sure,
just depending on which ones you want. So if that becomes
easy.
Your use case, yeah, you're going to spend a little more money and you're going to have to order two products instead of one, but you're going to end up with something that's much, much, much more versatile. So I'm not talking against this. I'm just,
yeah.
I'm trying, that's it. I'm trying.
There is an alternative.
Also,
sure. I mean,
yeah,
you could
no,
also put your Mac. I mean, the alternative to the iPad is put your Mac in the kitchen. Like there is other options. I mean, or print it
yeah.
out. Like there is other options for sure. That's
true.
That's not the point. The point is, I think it might make sense to have this as a dedicated device. A lot of people have speakers in their kitchen.
Yeah.
So, question: is this potentially a desktop device as another screen running different
Yeah.
apps, maybe entertainment, and have really
Yes.
great sound right there in front of you?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Calendar, stuff like that. I mean, like combine what we've seen from the Apple TV with video calling with the what is it called? The new iOS feature that you, if you put the iPhone like in landscape, you get the whatever it's called,
The night
the
mode,
calendar, the night mode. Yeah, yeah. Combine those two, and you have this device basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I made that prediction when Apple released Night Mode. I said this, we've just seen basically the new HomePod. Because that's the software that's gonna, or it's the stuff that's gonna run there.
So is this, no, let me ask it a different way. Is it possible that Patrice just touched on what the product actually is, which is
Very.
It's a dock, it's a HomePod dock that you set your iPhone into?
Or your iPad.
No.
But
your
I don't
iPad.
Think so. I think it's just the software components, because iOS and tvOS and so on share still a lot of in common. So this was an easy way to test it. Simply roll it out to your existing devices and show it. Test it this way.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be something that, I mean, we're going back to what the original iPhone was envisioned as. You have a content consumption device, a speaker, pretty much an iPod mini, or it probably in stereo, and a video conferencing device, and basically a place to look at your calendar widgets. But it's all the same but it's all the same thing.
I find the whole idea compelling, especially since during one of the Amazon sales, I bought an Echo Show, which lives on my desk here in front of me now. And I find it to be a really useful tool. I don't actually ever speak to it. It's more just like a smart display sitting there. The thing that I don't like about it is that no matter how many settings I go and turn off, I can't get it to stop periodically showing ads.
Well,
If it was an Apple
that's because
device,
that's
I would never have ads showing up.
Yes. Jeff, do you have a 5 or 8?
I have a 5.
Yeah, I have a 5 too. And frankly, it's relegated to the kitchen as more of a glorified alarm clock and the place that I can summon the A-Lady. But other than that, you know, because I've tried customizing things, and you're right, it's ad city. And so that's why it's not on my desk. There are things it can do that I would love to have on my desk, but it's not worth having those ads pop up and distract me constantly.
Yeah. And if there's like a miniature version of it, like a 5 or an 8 equivalent to the Show 5 or 8, and that's what that device might be, pretty much just a smart alarm clock.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to go there. I mean, we talked about the kitchen because that seems to be kind of an obvious one, but it could be in your office on your desk. I mean, yeah, you have your Mac there, but maybe you want to listen to something and see your calendar all the time and have it on a dedicated device. Yes, you can put your iPad there as well, sure, or your phone or whatever. Might, but for some people that might be interesting. Or what Ben said, use it as an alarm clock, have it. I mean, I have an, a HomePod mini next to my, like next to my bed, and that might actually, that's a good idea. It might be a place for a smaller version maybe to put there. See whatever I want to see there. So I
Yeah.
think there is more places than just the kitchen for this.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons Apple has never fully invested in the HomePod, because it's a one-trick pony. Well,
Ah,
this
Ben,
would
it's yeah, sorry,
kind
go
of
ahead.
is. I mean, this would give you everything that a HomePod or a HomePod mini would give you, but it would also have functionality. It would allow you to do things
Have
within the
apps.
Apple, Apple ecosystem. But let's just say you don't want to get your phone dirty, or your you can just leave your iPad over on your desk.
Or you have someone in the household who's not so tech savvy, but like this device, because it's simpler, they may, might be able to use.
I mean, for instance, my mom and my stepdad can barely use their iPhones. They can perfectly use an Apple TV. It's a very simple interface. And there Dave was tackled by the Sky Marshal.
I was just about to cut back to him and ask him where he
Probably
is.
because he was recording other people.
He was just trying to explain to somebody what he was shaking his head, so
Yeah, someone is asking him what was going on. Yep.
Dave is
Exactly.
now in the TSA detention.
Oh, yes. Which Dave's TSA detention may be the show title.
Amen. I like
Tom.
that one. I like that one. Ben, I want to challenge you just a little bit. I see the HomePod, and for that matter, the HomePod Mini is maybe a two-trick pony or maybe one and a half trick. You know, I see it as a speaker, and I also see it as a Nest Lady device.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's it's a subtle difference, but it's a difference
Yeah.
compared, because that's sort of what some of the different A Lady devices are. You know, that they can be a speaker. Frankly, some of them, some of the early ones I bought are just pathetic speakers, but they're decent mics. They're not nearly as good as the HomePod mics, but you know,
Yeah.
so I may not be able to shout at it from 2 rooms away like I can the HomePod, but I can still roll over in bed and say, "Hey, lady, do this. Hey, lady, do that."
Yeah.
So, you know, all these devices have a place. They all represent those certain compromises, sometimes functional compromises, sometimes privacy compromises, sometimes advertising compromises. You know,
A
so we
lot
don't.
of the times advertising compromises.
Yeah, we just don't have a perfect device yet. And I'm not sure that, given the various use cases we've all described here, that there is a perfect device for any of us.
And I have one more kind of thought on this. Could this be kind of lead to an eventual merging of the HomePod and Apple TV lines? Like you'd have a sound bar with Apple TV in it, which would kind of give you all the smarts then, but that particular model of this would just hook in by HDMI to your TV.
I love that so much, especially because it's something I've speculated on in the past too. I always thought an Apple TV built into a sound bar would just absolutely make sense. It'd be like the ultimate HomePod, Apple TV, all rolled together. Just plug it into whatever TV you have, and you're done.
Yeah, and I mean, it would start to kind of bring TV OS into the forefront instead of the redheaded stepchild of Apple.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, I've complained about that in the past, that like I think the HomePod showed so much potential, and I mean they never did anything with it. It disappeared even for a little while, and then the Mini came back, and then we got the big HomePod back. So I don't know what happened there, but like it, I always felt like there's more to it than like, or there's more we could do with it than we've done so far. I mean, I get still to this. I mean, how long have we had the HomePod now? Like 6 years ish, 7 years?
Yeah.
And I
Yeah.
still get
And
frustrated by it every day.
oh yeah.
Same.
I mean, and literally we've had stuff come up on my HomePod minis that it couldn't even do when it was launched. Like, hey Siri, what's the temperature downstairs?
From 68 degrees Fahrenheit, another 9 degrees Fahrenheit downstairs.
Thank you, Siri.
Did it say 7 million degrees Fahrenheit?
No, that's going to be July.
Right,
You
that'll be July.
triggered mine, and it's saying it's taking a while to respond. So
That
because
definitely
that's
sounds
rough
like
for
Dave's the connection
HomePod.
on Southwest Airlines.
Yeah, it's like wow.
Every HomePod for all the listeners just went off, and
Yes.
they're getting
In the
temperatures. Thanks, man.
world,
Yep,
temperatures from
well done.
downstairs or somewhere
Well done.
random.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least we know that your HomePod's still working, and
That's true. Yeah,
sometimes
so sad.
reliable, sometimes not.
Sometimes
But you
not.
know what's always reliable? DSL host.
DSL host.
Much more reliable than Dave's in-flight Wi-Fi connection today. Although the fact that he was able to join us for a significant part of the show was pretty impressive.
Yes.
So what
Though
makes
he might be going to federal prison after this.
right. He did text me after he disappeared to let me know that his connection did drop, and I've let him know that we figured that the Sky Marshals took him down.
I mean, he might be closing in on like actually landing. It's not, he wasn't that far away.
Right. Yeah, it's yeah, fun when you're in Denver. And you're flying to Vegas, which is where he's headed. It takes longer for me to drive to like a ski resort in the mountains than it does for me to fly from Denver International Airport to McCarran, which is the Vegas airport.
Yeah, and they usually start preparations for landing like about 20, 25 minutes before. So
Yeah.
could be that he already also got told that
That it was time.
getting ready.
That's a good, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
But anyhow, TSO hosts, look at that. TSO hosts was essentially our commercial on the show. And then we had a Dave commercial in the middle of that commercial. You're so meta. Here's the deal with TSO hosts. They offer awesome web hosting. They have great customer support. They make it easy for you to buy domain names, and they offer good pricing. And they also have really solid bandwidth. So why do I point out all of these things? Well, that's because they what they're doing is taking all the things that they do so well and giving those to us. So that here at the British Tech Network, so that we can bring shows to you every single week, including compelling content like Dave Ginsberg on location, in flight, live on the air with us. I mean, how many other places do you get that? But the point
Not a
is,
lot.
not a lot, but the point is, the bandwidth it takes for us to live stream something like this to you every week, that's resource intensive, and the resources that it takes to bring all this together, that's beyond what we would otherwise have available to us. So TSO hosts, they're just like, here, take it. They're giving back to the community by supporting us. So they're giving us that bandwidth we need so we can live stream every single week. And they're going beyond that too, because they're also giving us the web hosting we need so that we can have a website so that you can see what shows have been recorded and what shows are coming up, and then see that button for the daily news show, so you can give money for that, because that's a thing too. And anyhow, so the website's there because they're giving us that resource. Then they're going even beyond that by giving us the storage space we need. So there's a place for all of the show files to live, so that anytime you want to watch or listen to whatever your favorite episodes are, you can get at those. And like I said, all these resources, when you put it together, that's a lot. And they're just very generously saying, here you go. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us and being part of the community with us. We genuinely appreciate it. So what all of you can do to show your appreciation is hop on social media and thank TSO Host for being here and being part of the BTN family. So yes. Thank you again, TSO Host. I did mention that they make it easy to buy domain names and they offer good pricing. If by chance you have found some awesome domain name that you just cannot live without, go get it from TSO Host, because they make it easy and they offer good pricing. And they go a step farther by giving you a discount code that you can use. And that code is BTN20. Add that to your cart at checkout and you get 20% off your order. So if you need new domain names, if you need web hosting, throw it all in your cart, add BTN20 and get an extra 20% off. So thank you again, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. And now for the very obvious segue, speaking of support, Patrice, I really need yours. Would you mind helping me out and telling people about the live chat, please?
Of course. So we have a really, really, really cool live chat. It's like where we are in when we're recording the show. We're recording this live. So if you want to join us and talk to us, talk to other people like Bob Beach, for example, today in the chat, talk to us, see the links we're posting. We're not just posting the articles that we talk about, but also sometimes extra things like... Ben, for example, posted a link to some Alexa remote smart display thingy. So, stuff like that. It's always worth to have to be in the live chat if you can join us live, which you can do every Friday 4 p.m. UK time for this very show, the Mac show, and also Thursdays. 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, where we talk about the non-Apple side of technology, whether it's space or chips or Microsoft doing stupid things with ads and all of that, like what we did yesterday. Just look at the title for yesterday's big show, and then you would know what we talked about. And all you have to do is head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And you're in. Super easy, no registration required. Just join us, talk to us, and have fun with us. But let's say you are listening to this in your favorite podcast player of choice, whether that is, I don't know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, I think now, wherever that is, website, like TSO Host, anywhere you can find our content and you listen to. And you're like, I would really like to see what they talked about. I really need the link from Ben. I really want to look at the story that they talked about, any of that, or just because you're just curious, you just want to see it. You can still get to our transcript. Of course, live chat doesn't work that way anymore, so you can't join that, but you can see the transcript. And in order for you to find that, you head over to our website, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And if you go there, and there's a very friendly calendar that asks you for a date. And if you tell that very friendly calendar any date between June 2nd, 2015, and for example, today, which would be April 19th, 2024, then it will show you the transcript for today. And you will see anything that was talked about on that particular day.
Thank you so much for doing that. It's always just a treat to watch a professional in action. Yep. Okay, so now it's time for cool things, and Ben cheated and already dropped the link for his cool thing in the live chat. So, Mr. Cheater, go ahead and tell us about your cool thing. You are muted.
Now it's time to see an amateur in action.
Wait, it's my turn?
It's always your turn until you and Dix it back.
Right, yeah.
Okay. The last couple of weeks, well, Delta Emulator has not been my only wish granted this week.
Mm-hmm.
And this one goes very hand in hand.
Like literally in hand.
Yeah. Yes. Well, hands, plural.
Because mm-hmm.
you would have to have one huge ass hand to hold this thing by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Razer makes a line of smartphone controllers, or should I say smart device controllers, we'll get in, that distinction is very important now, called the Kishi. They currently have the Kishi version 2, which is, shall we say, inspired by the backbone type. Well, there's mm-hmm. two problems with that for some. Number one, there's limits to what devices it could use because of how far it can expand. And the controller itself, they're compact. So mm-hmm. if you're having your kid play your phone, they can probably do it. But if you want a more full-size experience, well, you're grabbing an Xbox controller. Not anymore. Introducing the Kishi Ultra. This thing is full size. I got pro level haptics. It's got, for those who are very gamer and very extra, it has full RGB chroma RGB support. And if you're thinking, man, that phone in the link seems rather large, well, this can expand not just for phones, but up to the 6th-gen USB-C iPad mini or equivalent Android USB-C tablet.
See, that's what makes this really compelling, because now you can turn your iPad mini into a gaming device.
Very cool.
Yeah, it makes your iPad mini say, bye-bye Switch, bye-bye Lenovo Legion. I'm going to first address the elephant in the room. You're going to be paying for this capability. It's $149 US, and for what Razer is giving you here, both in feature set and quality, I would say that is justified.
So if you're a serious gamer on your iOS device, this is something to look at.
Yeah. And this, since they already had, since this and is now fully supported in the with their Nexus app and within iOS, /iPadOS controls.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that you can literally buy right now, and when it shows up, it will be fully functional. This is something that, will work with both your USB-C iPhone and your small iPad mini. So you need one controller, where you actually used to have two controllers. And since the iPad mini controller was Bluetooth, it sucked. So this is something that you're not investing in today. This is probably going to be your controller for years.
Okay. Awesome. All right, Patrice, it is now your turn.
Yeah, so my app, or my cool thing, is an app. It's brand spanking new. I think it came out a day or two ago. I've been on the beta for like a week or two, I think. Mm-hmm. It's not been very long, but the developer, is a small indie developer, posted it on Mastodon, and I saw it, and I was like, this is cool. So the app is called Drop Scout. And what it is, essentially, is a kind of an Amazon price monitor. So it's all it does. It's a little app. You can import, for example, your Amazon wish list or any list that you have in Amazon, or you can just individual items can be added either through search in the app, or you can just use the extension. Like just go to Amazon, do share, and then share it there, and it will read. And it works with, I think, most stores in the world, Amazon stores. So it's not US only. It works also in Germany, for example, for me. And then you can say, hey, any price change or certain price changes, like it's version one, so there's probably some room for improvements, but currently you can set, I think, like 5%, 10%, 15% or something like this. There's fixed increments or any price change. I'm pretty sure in the future that will be expanded, that you can just say, I want, if it reaches or if it's below this price, please send me a notification. Stuff like that. So if you want to buy something, but you're like, I want to wait a little bit because the price is quite high, but if there's a sale on it, then I would buy it, throw it into the app, and it will send you a notification when that happens. So super easy, simple app, quite nice design. It has a little owl, and that's it. Like, simple as that, and it's free. So
that's cool. I just
downloaded it.
Good.
And nice. Bob Beach just downloaded it too.
Yeah, so we have, I'm very happy we have three new users for the developer. I said, it's a really nice guy. So it was, I tried it and it worked day one, like really, really well, even on the beta. So highly recommend it.
Awesome. You'll have four once I get to my iPhone, Patrice.
Good.
Oh, Chuck, you can download it on your Mac.
Yes. Oh, that I didn't know.
Oh.
So even better.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. It can send you email notifications as well, by the way. So if you don't want to push notification, it also does email. Mm-hmm. Just want to mention that.
Good to know. Oh, shoot.
Yeah, Chuck's giving us the oh, shoot, because.
I didn't hit return on my links. So sorry about that.
Yeah. There we go.
All right. So, all right, Chuck, follow that.
Okay, well, I'm going to go practical. And by the way, Ben, thank you for recommending that game controller, because that means you spent absolutely none of my money. I appreciate that.
we're going to have you. We're going to have you poning the noobs rather than later, Chuck.
We'll see. We'll see.
Oh my god!
As I mentioned, I just got back from NAB. Unfortunately, I ran into a couple equipment issues this time around. And so something that I tend to keep in my packs whenever I'm traveling, like to a show or anything like that, are two simple things that can solve a lot of problems. One is a roll of electrical tape. The other is a roll of duct tape.
And duct tape.
Yeah, it sounds crazy, but on my large check bag, the wheel decided to completely come off, is really bad, because you don't want to be dragging this thing through the airport. Duct tape to the rescue. You know, now don't misunderstand, it's not going to be a permanent fix, but it certainly meant that it would hold up long enough for me to, you know, get the bag back home and probably buy a new one, frankly, because it's that particular bag is so beat up. On the show floor, a couple little issues with things. And so the solution simply is you just electrical tape them to a piece of equipment to your tripod.
Yeah.
It, you know, again, it's not something you're going to want to necessarily leave there forever. But for a day or two, it's perfect, because it just, you know, it's solid, it wraps tight, and it doesn't give. So yeah. If you don't have any of this, you know, I threw links in just to a couple of the, they're all kind of generics for both items. but put these in your bag and just kind of forget about them until you need them, because sooner or later you will need them. And it also, unfortunately, it costs a fortune to go and buy this stuff, especially in Vegas. You know, if you can even find it on the strip, it'll cost you a fortune. This way you just open up that other pocket. And again, you know, the other thing for me is I'm always very, very picky about what I take, because I don't want to add the weight that I want to be carrying other things, not just unnecessary things. But these are well worth the weight that they take up.
Chuck, I have I have an extra recommendation. So if someone who's worked on stages and stuff for years and set up like theater productions and all of that, gaffer tape. That stuff is magic. We fix everything with that. And the difference between a duct tape or duct tape, depending on which one you go for, or even electrical tape, is this doesn't leave behind residue. It's not a long-term thing that you want to have on your duct for years and whatever. It's supposed to be, as I said, for those stage productions, whatever. You use it. It stays very securely for a couple of days. I mean, we fixed crazy stuff. Like we were missing, I think, a bolt on a truss once, and we just wrapped it with gaffer tape. Like, and it held up quite fine for like the entire show. And then afterwards, we bought a new bolt. So, this is magic. And as I said, it doesn't leave behind a residue, which is one of the important things, that you can remove it from wherever you are and it doesn't leave anything behind.
So in other words, it's basically if duct tape and painter's tape had a baby.
Yeah, but pretty much. So as I said, that's the other one. Duct tape is great. Electrical tape, I have all three because there's uses for all of them. But for travel and so on, what you're doing, gaffer tape. They come in different colors, but I prefer the black. So
that's a good point, Patrice. Although I have to say I've never had the residue left behind issue, maybe because I didn't leave anything on long enough.
Yeah, that could be.
Like in the case if of it's the luggage.
Hot, I can tell you if it's hot, for example, that happens quite often with duct tape, that if it's a little bit warm, like on stages you have all the lights and whatever, that starts to melt the glue a little bit, and then you have those residues. And this doesn't happen. This is like what all film sets, whenever you see this stuff everywhere.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, like with the luggage, you know, who cares? I mean, it's probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's short enough. Yeah.
I mean, because you can't, the days of getting your luggage repaired are gone. You know, it'll cost you more to get it repaired than, which is
if
sad,
it's even possible.
Yeah. It's sad, but it's the way it is. But for emergency repairs, that's that's another great tip, especially, as you said, with the heat situation.
Yeah.
Chuck, I'm going to build on your pick as well, by offering a tip to go along with it. Carrying an entire roll of duct tape or gaffer tape or electrical tape. Well, electrical tape's easier, but carrying the whole roll, that's a lot of weight and it's bulky. So if you have an old disposable pen, like a Bic or whatever, take the spent pen part out of the barrel and wrap duct tape around the pen. So it's like you're transferring from the big roll and making a small roll. And now you can take the small roll and throw that in your bag, and it takes up a lot less space and it weighs less.
Ah, good point, Jeff. I like that. I like that.
That's a backpacking tip for you too.
Okay, there you go.
All right. So that turned into like an awesome group pick. Okay, so I guess that brings us to me, and yes, Ben, after a few weeks of not bringing Lego, I have brought Lego for you. So Lego announced this week that they have a new TIE Interceptor kit coming out. And because it's Star Wars, it will be releasing on May the 4th. And
Wait. Why do these Lego sets always have problems with people wearing ties?
It's just a wardrobe issue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bob Beach is not impressed with my pick this week. Don't worry, Bob. Next week, I'm sure I will have something that will please you more than Lego.
Yes. And Bob, welcome to your BTN Plus subscription.
Oh, yes.
Free trial.
Free trial, yeah.
So, yeah, this is a pretty big model. It's over 1,900 pieces, and the cockpit is like completely detailed inside. Comes with a TIE pilot minifigure, and I'm assuming the printing on this one is unique to this kit. It's bigger than you think, and it's super detailed, and it looks super cool. The only thing I don't like about it so far, without actually seeing the kit in person, is that you pay the Star Wars licensing tax on this. So the kit is 1,931 pieces, which means that this kit should cost like $195 or $199. But it comes in at $229.99. So you're paying that Star Wars license tax. But it's a cool looking build of the TIE Interceptor, which is a pretty cool looking TIE fighter.
So if you wanna catch some TIEs, you need the TIE Interceptor.
Exactly. This is how you catch your TIEs.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. Is there also a dress and like a skirt interceptor and dress interceptor and all of that?
Yep.
Yes, there are. Yes. Nice. And
there would be a bow tie interceptor, but bow ties are cool.
Okay. And there's that too.
Okay, there's that. I'll give you that.
Yeah, the great thing about the dress and the skirt interceptor is that they have built-in consent chips. So if you don't want your dress intercepted, it'll just fly on by. All right. And with that, we have made it to the end of the show. And I'm sorry to inform you, or I guess maybe good news. Dave was not, in fact, taken down by the Sky Marshals.
What?
Although, if the Sky Marshals did take him down and that's why he went offline and then they took his phone, of course they would text me saying that the Sky Marshals didn't take him down. So maybe they did. We'll just have to wait and see what sort of photos he posts on Instagram later.
I'm intrigued by the fact that the panel seemed disappointed that he didn't get taken down by the Sky Marshals.
Because it makes such a great story. All exactly. Right, if it had been me and you found out after the fact that I had not, in fact, been taken down by the Sky Marshals, wouldn't you be kind of disappointed?
Yeah.
See?
I mean,
maybe.
Just think of all our ratings if one of us is to get arrested by Sky Marshals.
Live on the air.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could make some suggestions, but then I get in real trouble because you know, Dave still has the flight back. That he still has the opportunity.
True.
He does have the opportunity. Yep. Mm. All right. Well, I'm glad Dave was able to join us for at least part of the show. That was pretty awesome. Basically, he joined us for the state of Colorado, and and after he left Colorado, that's when we lost him.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the only place where you had internet on the plane, right?
Probably.
There's no internet before, there's no internet after. It's just Colorado.
Yeah. So I want to point out that today we had two people in Colorado on the show.
True. Yeah. Not had that for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, super long time. Yeah. All right. So now we know where to find Dave. Patrice, where do we find you?
Well, usually here on this very show every Friday and also on the big show every Thursday. As I said, if you're into the non-Apple side of technology, that might be your show. or additional to Apple, I don't know. You can find out everything about me and everything I'm doing, all the podcasts, the projects, the social media links, and literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com. I just got a notification that my domain is up for renewal, so that will be extended by another year automatically, so it's nothing I have to do. So yay. Yeah, yes. And yeah, I have a really cool Mastodon instance that is used by a bunch of shows, including In Touch with iOS and British Tech Network. And that is at techhangout.social. So if you know us and you want to join, then reach out to us and we'll give you an invite because it's invite only.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me on social media at Ben Rathig. On Tuesday nights, you can find me on Mac Voices Live, Chuck Joyner. For some reason, he keeps letting us all on. I can't fathom why.
Up with that.
Yep. On Thursday nights, you can find me on In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg, if the Sky Marshals let him out of custody.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, you can find me here on the British Tech Network on the Big and Mac shows.
Yeah, you know, they kicked him out of the flight of out of the plane simply somewhere over New Mexico, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
or,
you know,
or Nevada, I don't know.
Kicked him out of the plane, or they had an unscheduled door panel ejection.
Okay, it could happen, yeah.
That could happen. It's a thing.
Unfortunately, we know that that could happen. Mm-hmm. If you'd asked us a year ago, we probably would have said, no, it's never going to happen.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Chuck, when you're not holding those door panels on airplanes, where can people find you?
Well, first, let me say that the reason that you all keep coming back to Mac Voices Live is because there is no better panel anywhere on the internet than the crew we have on Tuesday nights. When no matter which combination of folks show up, it is still the best panel. It's the most entertaining. It's the most. The thing I love about it is a lot of us can disagree vehemently, and still at the end of the show we're laughing and picking on each other in the good.
No matter where the panel flew off of.
Exactly. No matter where the panel flew off of. That's very good.
Well done.
God. And we're all going to feel bad if Dave was on a plane where the panel flew off, if that happens. So, Dave, we're sorry. After all that. Sorry, Jeff.
Duct tape.
Yeah, there you go. You can find me Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, doing Mac Voices Live with this crew at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. At all other times, you can find me at MacVoices.com, where I'm just starting to publish some of the NAB interviews. And also, you can find me on all the socials at Chuck Joyner. And I do want to apologize. I think I missed the mute button one time when I was having a coughing fit. So sorry about that.
Yeah.
You're fired.
You just ruined the whole show.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't even notice.
Good. Maybe I didn't miss it, but
no,
I don't
think you actually missed your mute button.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
All right. So, well, since Dave's not here to talk about where you can find him, he's the host of In Touch with iOS on Thursdays, and he's Dave G65 on social media, and very shortly he will be basking in the warm sun in Las Vegas after flying over Colorado, where it's currently snowing again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So okay, then I guess it means it's my turn. So
yes, where can we find you, Jeff?
Well, when I'm not running from the law, I don't know where that came from. Probably from all the bad things I've done. It's guilt. That's what it is. No. Okay. Social media. I'm Jay Gamut on the various social medias. I'm active right now on Mastodon, Instagram, and Threads. Then for shows, Chuck continues to let me join in on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. And then on Thursdays, Dave continues to let me join in Touch with iOS. Then here on the British Tech Network, Thursdays on the Big Show, Fridays on the Mac Show. Somehow Ewan continues to let me host both these shows for you. And then Brian Chaffin and I, we do the Context Machine. So with that, thank you to all of you for just making my Friday morning so much fun. Yes, I have to get up a little early on Fridays to make sure that I have my tea done in time to actually start the show. Totally worth it because I get to hang out with all of you, and I just love it. So thank you for that. Everyone that tunes in, watches, listens live, thank you for being here. You are all awesome. And everyone that participates in the live chat, like Bob Beach has been doing today, hey, thank you for doing that too. Everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. I know I say it all the time, and I've already said it today, but I'm saying it again. You're all awesome. I love every single one of you. Speaking of love, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Speaking of support, the daily news show. Every day, is it really every day? If you pay enough, it is.
Yeah. If you pay, it's almost every day except for Sunday.
Okay, so every day except Sunday, assuming you pay. You can get these 5-minute news chunks that give you all the tech news that you need. It's ready and waiting for you when you get up in the morning. Kyle is fantastic at this. And yes. And it does take extra to make this show, make that show specifically happen. So go to the BTN website, click the button where you can donate money to keep the daily news show running. You don't need to spend a lot of money, but the more you spend, the better off we are. So thank you.
Yeah. The cheapest is a dollar. So it's not, a dollar or a pound, I think, is like, that's the minimum. And you get, I think, the 5 days a week. And then for five, you get the extra weekend edition. So
yeah. So it's not going to cost you a lot.
A month, not an episode.
Yeah, a month. Yes. So go do it, because it's a great show and we need to make sure that it continues to run. Yeah. All right. So with that, thank you again to everyone. And don't forget to join us next Thursday for the Big Show. Then again, next Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.